seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and the 13th verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wherever we find in the Word of God that the Lord was working, we find so quickly Satan was active too. And here in the previous chapter we have that wonderful deliverance of the impotent man who lay at the gate of the temple, and how through the apostles he was made whole and healed, not because of what they had done, but it was all done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. But then we find Peter wonderfully declaring how all this took place, and preached a blessed sermon, leading the people away from Peter and from John to look alone to the dear Lord Jesus. But then, where did it bring them? Peter and John were put in prison and brought before the rulers and elders on the following day. And there they wonderfully were enabled to declare the wonders God alone could do in that wonderful deliverance. We read, don't we, in Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And how wonderfully he preached to them, didn't he? A precious Jesus, on whom the dear apostles' hopes were fixed. Where are ours fixed tonight? Could we say, it's easy to quote it, but and easy to sing it, but can we say, like the dear hymn writer did, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You know, we're on safe ground if we are leaning upon him like the sparrows were of old. But I want to come down to this text. Peter was enabled to declare so beautifully to them, wasn't it? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now this word has rested upon me much today, and I just want to look at a few things that's helped in it. First of all, that wonderful boldness that was given to dear Peter and to John. This was not natural boldness. It was God-given boldness. You think how they were faced with the prison, they were faced with much opposition, but they declared boldly the precious name of Jesus. Nothing could keep back that which God had given them to declare. And there are times, you know, with every one of God's dear people when he, in times of need, times of affliction, times of maybe hospital appointments, maybe facing enemies, he gives them wonderful boldness. You know, if you look in the Word of God, you will find the Lord gave to dear David, didn't he? Wonderful boldness to go up against Goliath. That was not in David himself, but it was boldness given by the Lord. And it may be there's one here tonight that needs heavenly boldness to be given. And you think of the times with the Apostle Paul, not only on this, in the occasions when he was brought before rulers and kings, but so many times he needed that boldness, and here Peter and John were given wonderful boldness. And it was seen by those that oppressed them and persecuted them for preaching the dear Lord Jesus. And they were given boldness to stand before those scribes and rulers and elders to declare it. But too, they were given wonderful boldness to speak word of Christ. And one feels in this dark and solemn day, when none of us know what may come upon us as a nation, and whether we shall still in time to come be enabled to gather together like we do now, oh, we need boldness to be given. You see, they did not in any way flinch from declaring the gospel that the Lord had given them. And it may be tonight there's one that has need of boldness. And we think of following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. He gives his people that boldness. I've seen over the years some wonderful characters, you know, constrained to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances and commandments. And yet, naturally speaking, these characters, you would think, well, they'll never venture because they're so timid. They have so many fears. They have so many things to keep them back, to hinder them. But the Lord gives them that boldness to venture upon him. You know, the Lord will ever honour them that honour him. And here, look how the Lord was to honour dear Peter and John. And it was seen by even their enemies and those that oppressed them because of the truth they faithfully declared. They were seen even by the enemies. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And may it be of comfort to you tonight, poor soul. The Lord can give you boldness to face the future. He can give you boldness to face the mountains that you may have before you. He can give you boldness to stand against Satan. We're told, aren't we, in the Word of God, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. And I know what you're saying, meaning, well, I've got no power to resist him, and we haven't, have we, in and of ourselves. But the power the Lord gives to his dear people to resist the devil all flows from heaven, and he shall flee from you. And all you need boldness to stand against the enemy, don't you? Satan. And it may be in something in providence, it may be in an interview, it may be in something that you've got before you. You say, how can we venture into it? Well, think of these two dear men. They came with boldness. And you know, we need a God-given boldness to approach the Lord, don't we? And why I say that is because of what the Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And you know, sometimes you may have things that really exercise you and burden you, and the many sins that weigh you down. And you may say, well, I'm not fit to approach the Lord. How can I come? Well, poor soul, may this be of comfort to you. Let us therefore come boldly. And the Lord will enable, like he did the publican, to boldly confess his sin and to mourn over those sins before the God of heaven. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, we could name many characters in the Word of God the Lord gave this boldness to. And oh, they're precious characters, you know. You think of Jacob when he was faced with all the troubles he was concerning Joseph. Oh, the boldness the Lord gave him. And look at the boldness the Lord gave him to stand against Esau with those 400 men against him. A God-given boldness. And may we be enabled to pray for that. Now, I don't know why the Lord's given me this word, but I would seek to preach it to myself, because there's many times we need this boldness. Now, when they saw, it was seen, you see, even by their enemies, the boldness they had to stand and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, much further could be said on that. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were fishermen. They hadn't been like the Apostle Paul and sat at the feet of Gamaliel. They hadn't been through some theological teaching from man. They were unlearned and ignorant men. And this was seen. My mind went to dear David when he was brought before Saul. And what did David say? And you see, the apostles here, Peter and John, they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They would acknowledge that. They hadn't got the great education and ability that the Apostle Paul had. But there was one thing there were two things really, they had wonderfully been taught. I'll name the first, and that is what David said when he went before Saul. And what did he say? Seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. This is what David said before the king, before Saul, before him. I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. He knew what it was, and so did these dear men, Peter and John. They knew their poverty. They knew their inability. And it may be in your heart tonight, you may say, well, I feel so poor, so helpless, so unable to do anything other than of myself. You think of dear David on another occasion, he says, but I am poor and needy. And he said that while he was king of all Israel and Judah. I am poor and needy. And these dear men, you see, they knew they couldn't lean on their own learning. They knew they couldn't lean on themselves. They were poor, ignorant men. But where could they lean? And where can you and where can I tonight? You may say, well, I'm just like these dear men. So there's two sides to this, and I want to name the second in a moment, but you think the more the Lord teaches us we are poor and ignorant men, the more and more dependent we'll be upon the Lord. You see, the Lord will have his dear people dependent upon him. Oh, he will. And this is where dear Peter and John were. They knew in and of themselves they could never heal this impotent man. But that brings me to the second part of it. They were totally and utterly dependent upon the Lord for the Lord to appear and to deliver this dear man who for 40 years had been a cripple. And you look what took place. The Holy Ghost came upon them. You know, the Lord can take the fools and make them wise. And this is a vital thing, you know. You know, if you look back at some of the old preachers in days past, they were poor, ignorant men. Was it not J.C. Philpott, who was a master in the Word of God and a master in natural things because he had much learning? But you know, it was that dear man that was called by grace as he listened to a poor, ignorant man preach at the back of a dung cart. And the Holy Ghost came upon that dear man, and you see, the Lord called Mr. Philpott by his grace through his ministry. And it was no learning of the dear man that preached. He was a poor, ignorant man. The vital thing is to be taught how poor we are, that the Lord would make us rich. Rich in his grace, rich in his fear, rich in his love, rich in his mercy. And these dear men, the Holy Ghost came upon them. We read, didn't we, in the lesson, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was it made the dear man so useful in Zion? And you can look at him in the day of Pentecost. You can look at him in Cornelius' house. how the Lord so used this dear man that was a poor, ignorant man, unlearned, and let the Lord so use him. Oh, he did. Because he was continually being under the blessed influence of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was not his own, was he? We feel our poverty. We feel our emptiness. We feel our vileness. We feel so often personally one does so inadequate to ever preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But you see, we cannot rest on our poverty. We cannot glory in that. There's no salvation in it. There wasn't with these dear men. All their salvation, all their hope, all their ministry must come from heaven. And that's what made it so profitable. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, you see, what the Lord was doing here was showing even those that opposed Peter and John, he was showing them that the power wasn't in Peter and it wasn't in John, but the power belonged to the Lord. They were poor men of the earth. And what effect did it have upon those when they saw this? They marvelled. And so were you, weren't you? You'll marvel at the grace the Lord gives. You'll marvel at the power the Lord gave to these two men. They marvelled. And it may be as the Lord appears for you, you'll know what it is to marvel at it. You stand amazed, lost in wonder that he should ever favour you. You know, the more we feel our poverty, the more dependent we are upon the Lord. If you think you can manage something yourself, poor soul, you're not dependent upon the Lord, are you? These two dear men, they were dependent upon the Lord for the deliverance of this impotent man. They were dependent upon the Lord to speak as they did so well of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. But I want to go further. I must be brief. And then we find this beautiful word. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. It was seen. They'd been with Jesus. And oh, you know, when this word dropped in, it was very sweet to me. It brought me to examine my own heart. Have I ever been with Jesus? Have you? May we lay it to heart this evening. You see, these that had so spoken against Peter and John, and had spoken about them putting them in prison, they had to see this. They had to view that these two men had been with Jesus, not just in physically as they walked with the Saviour while he walked this earth, but they'd been with Jesus in their heart, in their ministry, in all that concern them. Now let us bring it right home to us each. May we prayerfully consider in our own hearts, have we been with Jesus? Is it seen? You know, it was seen by those that love the Lord, it will be seen by the world. They took knowledge of them. They've been with Jesus. It was seen. The hymn writer said, doesn't it? And it's a beautiful word, really. Let our lives and acts express the very gospel we profess. You see, it'll be seen in your walk and mine. This is why we need grace to walk uprightly. Because if I may put it in a simple way, the child of God is watched by the Lord's people, but they're watched by the world. And they're watched by the ungodly. But above everything, the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees them each, and sees you and sees me, and he sees how we walk. There are many who say, oh, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that if somebody else or somebody was here. And yet they forget that the Lord sees. He sees us, the hymn writer said, when we see not him, and always hears our cry. Many may say, well, it won't matter, I'll just do this or do that, but I wouldn't want this one to see it. But forgetting the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us all the time. Both when we're asleep, when we're awake. And he sees the inmost recesses of your heart and mine. And he knows exactly whether we've been with Jesus. You may say, well, they were blessed in their day with being able to physically walk with the dear Redeemer. They were seen with him. We in these dark days are not seen with the natural eye to be with him, but it'll be seen in our life, it'll be seen in our conversation, it'll be seen where we go, the company we keep. They've been with Jesus. But I want to look at it in a deeper way. Just briefly. First of all, if we've been with Jesus, we shall be like him. Oh, to be like the dear Redeemer. And, you know, if we've been with Jesus, we have been humbled. Oh, we will. It's no big words of ready talkers, it's humble walkers. These are they that Jesus loves. Oh, to walk with the Lord. There's your prayer with the hymn writer. I thought about so much this morning. Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. If we've been with Jesus, we shall hate the sin. And we shall mourn over the sins there are within us. Because remember, all sin is a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. Oh, it is. Whether it be a small sin or a great sin. And the Lord will teach us, if we've been with Jesus, to pray what the hymn writer did. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. And if we've been with Jesus, we shall want to know more of him. We shall want to learn more of him. And if we've been with Jesus, we shall know much of his sweet presence. Oh, we will. We hope to sing at the close. It dropped in quite sweetly, thinking last evening as I came home from Handcross, sacred lines of the hymn, in thy presence I am happy. And you see, these souls have been with Jesus and know what it is to be happy. It's not the happiness of the world, it's the happiness that there with the dear Redeemer, communing with Him, fellowship with Him. In Thy presence we are happy. In Thy presence we're secure. There's a wonderful security, you see, being with Jesus. And in Thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. You know, He will give us much grace to be able to say that. Because if you've got the Lord with you, poor soul, it'll be well. If you're with Him, and He's with you. You think of the two, and then I must leave it because of the time, but you think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. Jesus Himself drew near, and He went with them. They were with Him, and He was with them. I speak this reverently and rightly. It's not a one-way street, poor soul. If the Lord is with you, you'll know what it is to be with Him. And this will humble your poor heart. It'll make you feel to love Him more and to adore Him more and to have sweet communion with Him. So may we lay it to heart tonight, have we been with Jesus? Is He our Saviour? He was to Peter and John. Is He our Redeemer? He that came into this earth to purchase poor dying sinners? My Redeemer. What did Job say? I know. He didn't say I think, or perhaps it is. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And you look at the trial the dear man had to go through. The affliction, the great losses, but in it all, the Lord was with him. Oh, He was. Amidst all the roarings of Satan, he could not destroy Job, could he? Job knew what it was to be with Jesus. That's why he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And oh, may we know much of His sweet presence. The Lord promised Moses, didn't He? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. As Moses went through that journey through the wilderness, he didn't go alone, did he? I know there were times where he felt to be alone, and it was a lonely path for the dear man. But the Lord was with him. And if the Lord is with you, poor soul, it'll be well while life endure, and it'll be well when called to die. Now, I've only scratched around in a few things in this evening, but may the reality of these precious things in this verse be known and felt in our souls, that we might have that heavenly boldness, that we might be with Him. Not only while we travel through this wilderness, but to be with Him eternally forever in glory.